Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of Trisha's True Crime Radio. This is a great day for Lady Justice. And I want to say, I am so thrilled I was wrong. It's the first time I was wrong, though, in the last 10 minutes, that is. Welcome to our Trisha's True Crime Radio. We have some great guests for you tonight. And remember, this is the only radio show out there that takes the smell out of your feet. Hey, she's guilty of murder in the first. I'm talking about Jodi Arias. And though Juan Martinez might have blown it by being so bombastic, he did not. That was my big concern. And it was an amazing day. We finally saw Jodi cry, and we know she was crying for herself. We have some amazing people on the show tonight. Katie Cool Lady is with us. Chris Hughes, Travis's friend, is on Dr. Drew for his first segment. Then he's going to call in. Hopefully, we'll be hearing from a really good friend of Travis's as well that was right inside the courtroom when the verdict was read. I'm hoping she'll call. And Levi Page is with us. So, everybody, welcome. Levi, are you with us still?
Yes, I didn't go anywhere.
Okay. And Katie Cool Lady, are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay. Katie, let's start with you first. You just got to tell me, what were you thinking? When they were late, were you panicking? When you heard about the juror crying, were you worried? Let's kind of take it from the time you heard the verdict was going to be announced.
Okay, well, I had to work this morning, and so I was working out of another office, and the office manager knew that I was on hold for this. So I came out of this appointment, and she took one look at me and said, verdict. And I just grabbed my stuff and ran out of there, and of course, my phone was blowing up with, you know, tweets and messages and all this kind of stuff, and I just hightailed it, trying to hold it together, hightailed it down to the courthouse. There was a mob scene there at the courthouse, and I just, like, zipped in past it. I kind of slipped past it. Nobody noticed me, and I slipped up to the fifth floor and saw my friends up there and then just dissolved into tears. And then they started saying, okay, family on this side, public on that side. They started kind of really managing the hallway, but most of the people were outside. I mean, it was truly a big mom scene outside, and lots of media and all that. So I saw Bess, and people were texting me. Bess Karras was looking for me. I guess she mentioned it on HLN that she was looking for me particularly. I ran into her. I just started seeing the people that I know. And I never for a minute expected to get in the courtroom because there were tons of Travis's family and friends there, and I just told them, they had written me a couple days ago saying we're doing some sort of a lottery system. I said, just count me out. You know, I'll be in the hallway. I'll be there for you guys. But, you know, don't include me. Don't feel like you need to include me in that. And so I was completely 100% content with just watching it on my friend's iPad in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I knew, Tanisha came out of the courtroom and swooped right up past my friend Joy Lynn and I and said, we've got two seats for you guys, and just pulled us right into the courtroom.
Oh, my gosh, how lucky.
We're right behind her and her and her husband and Samantha. I mean, it was just total luck of the draw. They had everybody else seated, and they had these seats, and they just swooped us right in. We sat down, and Tanisha's husband, Harold, just reached past, and that man was squeezing my hand. I'm not kidding you, for like 10 minutes, holding my hand over the seat. And I really bonded with her husband, Harold. And I just sat there trying to hold it together, watching people file in, wondering who's going to come in, watch Jody's entire family file in. Of course, Donovan was there, her grandmother there in the wheelchair. I had a complete sense of confidence that a first-degree murder conviction was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
For not one second did I feel insecure or worried or anything like that. I knew a first-degree murder, but it's still very, very emotional, you know, no matter what. And it's still very, very emotional. And trying to hold it together, and the victim advocates kept coming up to the front and saying, all phones off, no silencing, turn them all the way off. Just kept giving us admonitions about how to behave, no expressions of emotion, no nothing. And we were just trying to keep from crying unsuccessfully from time to time. And I was sitting in a row with all of Travis's friends and family. I mean, I felt very privileged to be even having a seat in there, and never for a minute thought I would have a seat in there during this time. And then so watched all of it. And then not one public seat was filled. Not one person from the public even got in. It was all media and friends and family. That was it.
Wow.
And cops. Then they put extra seats on the sides and in the front, and then they brought in Mesa PD and the chief of police for Mesa and, you know, all these, you know, those kind of people, official people. So, and then suddenly my friend just squeezed my hand. I was holding her hand the entire time from the time we sat down, and she squeezed my hand, and then Jody quickly swooped in with a very cheery little chipper kind of smile on her face. You know, she was just very lighthearted and sat down. That was probably, like, the last time I looked at her. I was so focused on the jury, on the family, on the people around me. And then they brought the family in. I mean, they brought the jury in and stand for the jury. I mean, to tell you, Tricia, to hold the emotions together after all these
times,
it was, I mean, it was like trying to cry silently without showing it on your face. That was what it was. And they pulled that jury in. I knew as they walked in, they're going to convict her for screamer. I mean, I just
what did they look like? What they had to show some emotion. Wasn't someone crying? Wasn't there a juror that was crying?
I didn't see a juror crying, but just to backtrack for a second, they also brought in the dismissed jurors, juror five that we called Tricolor, CEO, who was juror eight, who was always my pick for four person, and then and juror five's husband was with her, and then the little Hispanic guy that we called Poquito Mas, that's what I call him, he was in there. So the three of them were sitting over in the, quote, public section before any of the media came in or anything. And this is why I felt 100% confident, because I leaned back and I looked over, and juror five looked at me, made eye contact with me, and smiled and waved at me. So she's noticed me in there before. She's probably assuming I'm somehow connected to the family. And I said, they're convicting her. This girl knows they're convicting her. And all those jurors over there, all three of them, were jovial and laughing and talking and smiling completely. And I knew when I looked over there and saw that, this jury is convicting her. So then the jury came in, stone faced, same thing. Nobody was dressed up. They were still, you know, casual dress, and filed in. Not one person. One of them did glance at Jody, but I didn't see any tears. But I'm not saying that there weren't any. I just didn't see it. I was so engrossed in my own emotion, probably. I didn't notice that, but it may have been. And then it happened very quickly. They had already handed the form to the bailiff, who took it to the, I don't know, clerk or whatever, and she read it, and it seemed like it was in slow motion. It took it to the judge first. It seemed like it was an eternity of her reviewing it, and then she handed it, and first degree, you know, guilty on first degree. It was, you know, trying, and of course, everybody erupted in tears around me, including myself. But the most, I think, impactful thing for me, other than all the hugging and everything afterwards with the family, was polling the jury. Because listening to their voices out loud and watching them, and that juror number two, who we have called Trump, I have said from day one, that guy wants to see her burn. From opening statements, I mean, that guy has, he sat there just feet away from her for all those 18 days she testified, never looked at her, wouldn't even give her the courtesy of an eye contact while she was sitting there testifying. I'm like, that guy, when it came to him and they had to say yes, he said his yes so loud. It was so assertive and so piercing. He did, and so did who we call Nancy, who other people call Glamma. She was juror six. She sat with juror five. They were best buddies, and it was almost like her voice was for the two of them. Her voice was so loud and so much conviction. It's like they had the opportunity to say yes, and you know, went all around. Many of them were, you know, just a very simple yes, yes. But those two really, really rung in my mind so clearly that they had the opportunity to just really strongly assert that yes. And then it was basically like, okay, we'll be back tomorrow at 1, going into the aggravation phase, jury dismissed.
It was quick.
Yep.
And the crowds were outside screaming and cheering. I don't know if you've watched tape of that yet, Katie Cool Lady, but it was to see the crowds out there, how big that crowd was, very calm but very ecstatic about the verdict, and that was very emotional too. The whole thing inside the courtroom, outside the courtroom, it was incredibly emotional. Levi Page, you're joining us. What do you think? Talk to me.
Well,
you know, I, unlike Katie, I never am ever, I was not comfortable that they were going to find her guilty, because I learned that you never predict what the jury is going to do, because I predicted that the jury was going to convict Casey Anthony, and I was sure that they were going to give her the death penalty, and they didn't convict her on one thing. And I remember in 2011, the summer of 2011, sitting on my couch, turning on the television when I heard there was a verdict, and I was not nervous. I was not panicked. I was like, you know what? They're going to find her guilty. And my mouth dropped open, and I screamed a bunch of expletives whenever those idiots found her not guilty on everything. So this time I was nervous, and as soon as they said guilty on first degree, I was very relieved, because you just don't know what a jury is going to do. But I think that, you know, looking back at it in hindsight, this is Arizona. They're more conservative there. They're, you know, they don't buy into these asinine excuses of PTSD mm-hmm. and amnesia. And, you know, they, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Where there's smoke, there's fire. She lied to investigators. She said exactly. that she was not in Arizona. She said that she was in Arizona, but then ninjas came in and did it. Then she finally says that it was self-defense. Yeah, we're going to believe you on your third story. No, mm-hmm. they have common sense. They can sit there and they can say, you know what, three strikes, you're out. You lied three times. We're not going to believe you the fourth time, idiot. So,
exactly.
I think that she just hurt her case. She testified. She was nasty with Juan Martinez. People were saying that Juan Martinez was nasty. She was nasty to him as well.
Yes.
She was playing the cat and mouse game with him. I think that that hurt her. And I think she's going to end up getting the death penalty. But have any of you, Katie or Trisha, have you seen the interview that she did with the local Fox station there in Phoenix?
No, I heard she gave an interview right after. I'm like,
yes.
What is she thinking?
She gave an interview.
What did
she
say?
Basically... And it's asinine. It's actually absolutely grotesque what she said. Speaking about the family of Travis Alexander, she even attacked them in this interview. She said that they have, quote, false memories of him, that he was not the person that they thought he was. So she killed him, and now she has been convicted for it, and she's still assassinating his character.
Well,
and then she said that she prefers the death penalty. She said, quote, I said years ago, I'd rather get death than life, and that still is true today. I believe death is the ultimate freedom. And she's, you know, on suicide watch or something now. But, I don't buy that. I think that she wants to get life in prison, because I think she wants to continue to sell her artwork. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, when people are on death row, they immediately get a fan club. You can log on to the internet and you can Google a death row inmate, and there will be these sycophants, these weirdos who are attracted to them. They correspond with them. They sell their artwork and things of that nature on eBay, on these websites. There's even a website set up. It's Murderabilia, where they sell, like, the hair clippings and the toenails of these killers. She does not want to be put to death. She is lying. She wants to stay in prison for the rest of her life because she loves the attention. We can see that she loves the attention because she's giving interviews. I've never seen a murder defendant that has been convicted. And then minutes after their conviction, when they're facing death, they're inviting the media and talking to the media. She's doing this. This is the first time I've ever seen this in a high-profile case ever.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And I think that she's proving Jeanine DeMarte right. Because, you know, the psychologist for the prosecution talked about how she liked the limelight. Juan Martinez said that she liked the limelight, and she's even selling her underwear on eBay.
Disgusting.
I don't believe this crap for a minute that she says that she wants to get death. She
right.
wants to stay in prison because she enjoys the attention.
Levi, we're going to counter her second assassination of Travis by talking to one of Travis's friends, and I hope this is her. Is this Julie?
It is.
Julie, hi. Trisha Griffith and Trisha's True Crime Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This was quite a surprise and a great treat for us. You were very, very close to Travis. And one thing that all of us have been upset about is this character assassination. I mean, Travis obviously had a little bit of a dark space, and we all do. Heaven forbid if someone tore our lives apart and put it up there for everyone to see. We would all come across not looking great every minute of every day. But one thing I have found out, and I truly believe, that Travis had a heart of gold, and he was a wonderful human being. Tell us what you think, and tell us what your relationship with Travis is, and just say whatever you want. We have no commercials, no censors. You just say what you want, because I want to hear what you have to say, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for having me on and giving me this voice. Travis and I actually met about 2004 in prepaid legal, and instantly, you know, I was drawn to Travis like so many are. He was just that kind of a person. He walked into the room, and the room was brighter, and mm-hmm. we quickly became friends, and I love him. He would come to my home when he was in Utah. He would come and, you know, speak. He's a motivational speaker, so he would come and do prepaid legal events in Utah and things like that, and he would stay at my home with me. And my kids absolutely adored him. I have two boys, and they just totally looked up to Travis. He was just such a great example of what a man should be. You know, mm-hmm. he was always funny, he was kind, and he always saw the good in people. And so to hear all the things that we heard in court, you know, the character assassination that you referred to, you know, was really disheartening. It was frustrating. It was maddening to hear those things being said about him. But I knew that through all of that crap, literally, that people would see who Travis really was. And I really feel like they did. I mean, walking outside today after the verdict, and seeing all those people out there that were supporting him, that didn't know him, but grew to love him over the last 5 months, mm-hmm. and screaming, justice for Travis, was, I mean, that's who Travis was. He actually brought, I feel like he had a hand in this, he brought all of these people together and created these bonds and these friendships that for, I know me, the ones that, you know, I've met so many amazing people through this trial that we'll be lifelong friends now. And I feel mm-hmm. like that was all Travis's doing.
He had a hand in it. He did come and speak at your home, and I don't mean to get this personal, but you are LDS, I'm assuming?
I am.
Okay. And that I asked that because I live in Utah too. And I'm not LDS, but I feel like I'm LDS because I've grown up around Mormons my whole life, and I love them,
right.
And I know more about their religion than any other religion. And one thing I think that has helped probably people like you and Chris Hughes is your faith in that Travis is here, and he has
absolutely.
A hand in this, and he is helping others. Now, you know Chris Hughes, Julie?
I do.
Okay,
we're
going to go to Chris right now, I think. Hold on, Chris. There you are. Chris, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right, Chris. Thank you. Who is this Dr. Drew to get you first over Trisha's True Crime Radio? I mean, come on.
I forgot about that. It was kind of a crazy day.
Yeah, I understand. Now, Chris Hughes, a great friend of Travis Alexander's. Chris was on the radio show on True Crime Radio on Sunday, and Chris, it was the largest show by literally about five times bigger than any show I've ever done. We're in the tens of thousands of downloads now for you, for people to listen to it. You know, thousands of people listen to it live. You affected people from all over the world. Tell us what you felt about the verdict, what you witnessed. Give us an idea. Were you in the courtroom? Were you watching TV? Tell us the whole story.
Yeah, I was in the courtroom. My wife and I actually came down. We had breakfast, kind of a brunch, about 11:30. We just sat down, and the poor server that was helping us, she just got there, said, "May I take your order? Or, you know, what would you like to drink?" And we just got this text right then.
Mm-hmm.
That said the verdict is in and they're going to read it at 1:30. And so obviously kind of ruined our brunch, but we were, you know, we started texting and tweeting and Facebooking and calling all of our friends all around that have an interest in this. And we, we ran and changed real quick and then got down in the courtroom. We were in the courtroom about an hour early. and or excuse me, we were outside the courtroom door about an hour early, but they weren't letting anybody in. And then finally the family shows up, and we went in with the family and sat down, and Julie was there as well. I think we sat right next to each other. My wife was on my right. And it was just, you know, it was pins and needles. I mean, you never know how these things are going to go. We all agree that Prosecutor Martinez did his job, and we hope that the verdict would be what it was. And it just was, the whole morning was so intense. I mean, sitting in there every minute felt like an hour. And then when the attorneys came in, of course, there was this, you know, this we all experienced these crazy feelings. And then the judge comes in, and not long after the judge came in, you know, please stand for the jury. And they brought those jury members in, and, you know, it couldn't happen fast enough for any of us. You know, we just wanted it to happen. But it happened very, very quickly. I mean, she asked if they had a verdict. They said yes. They gave, you know, put it in a little folder and sent it over to the judge. The judge looked at it for about 30, 40 seconds, and she gave it to her assistant or whoever it is that sits to her left. And she asked her to read it. And, you know, she read it, and she read the verdict that we were all wanting. And, you know, the Alexanders are, they're elated. I mean, you know, just everybody in the Alexander camp. What I saw today, Tricia, is what happened in the courtroom, outside of the obvious, was the world said to Jody Arias, we don't believe you. You know, the world said to Jody Arias today, you are a liar. And, you know, so I, you know, not only are we celebrating that Travis is getting justice, we're also celebrating because the world rejected Jody Arias and her nonsense.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful that you and Julie and so many other people were friends of Travis's, so you can speak for him tonight. Chris, I want to ask you one other question. Or whoever saw this, can you jump in? Did Jody Arias have words with her defense attorney? Was there a issue there? Did anybody see that?
I'll speak up first. I didn't see it, so maybe some of your other guests did see it. But I actually heard that. I was talking with Fox News earlier, and they reported that she did get into some sort of fight with her counsel. I don't know if it was both of them or just one of them or what, but... yeah, that's the story that I heard.
And Julie, did you see anything?
You know what? I didn't see anything after the verdict was read. I totally forgot that Jody was even in the room.
Good.
I really did. I didn't even hear anything after guilty. I didn't even. My brain just went a different place.
I hear you. And have you heard anything, Katie Cool Lady?
I didn't see. I saw her interacting with her mitigation specialist as usual when she first came in. And like I said, she was sort of breezy when she first came in. But I didn't see anything like that. Again, like Julie, my dear new friend Julie, I didn't see any kind of anything because I just checked out to her. You know, when the verdict was read, it was like she just sort of evaporated. I don't even think I looked over there at her again after that.
Mm-hmm.
I did look at her family, you know, and... I mean, my heart does kind of go out to them, you know. I mean, I know that's controversial, but it does. It's just sad. You know, it's just a lot of sadness all the way around.
Well, they're victims.
She was abusive to her mother.
Yeah, she's abusive to her mother,
right,
Levi Page?
She was abusive to her mother. When she was a teenager, she beat her mother up. So I do feel bad that they had to live with this monster. And they're victims of her, too, because they didn't ask to be put in this situation. They have been victimized.
Right.
By her. She has victimized so many people.
She has. Of course, Donovan was there, by the way.
I'm sorry, who?
Donovan.
Donovan? Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Did you see what he was doing or what the scoop was?
Oh, in a very, you know, similar, like, casual T-shirt. I thought it was interesting because he was wearing kind of the Travis shade of blue with the T-shirt, a casual T-shirt, and, I don't know, maybe shorts or something. She was sort of hovering over... Jody's grandmother in the wheelchair. She was there and kind of, you know, being solicitous there, but that's all I saw.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, we have a lot of questions in the chat room, so if I could get to some of those really quickly. And Katie Cool Lady, I know you have to leave for a little bit, in a little bit. Julie, a close friend of Travis Alexander, can you stay with us for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. And Chris Hughes, what's your schedule?
I can't stay too long, but yeah, I can hang out for a little bit and take a handful of questions. Uh-huh.
Wonderful. And Levi Page, you're like me. You could stay all night because, you know, this is what we do. So I'm not even going to ask you. You're going to stay. That's all there is to it. Okay, let me go to the chat room here, and we do have all kinds of questions. After the verdict, Jody Arias turned her head. Did anybody see who she looked at? What was she doing?
Did not look over there.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Like I said, I totally forgot she was in the room. So
I think that's a great
thing. Yeah, I kind of had a similar experience as you, Julie. I just kind of, everything just stopped, it seemed like. But my brother was sitting, I can't remember where he was sitting. He had a kind of a better angle.
He was at the end.
Yeah, he had a better angle on Jody, and he said that she turned around and looked at her family. I don't know if that's true or not, or but that's what he said, that from his angle, that's what he thought was happening. And then earlier reported that she had smirked at the jury. You know, I did see her later, before, as we were all standing up and getting ready to leave the courtroom, I couldn't tell if it was a smirk or not. I would bet that it probably was, because that's just that's just Jody.
Yes, it's the Jody that we all know and don't love whatsoever. We have a couple of questions. Do we know if the foreperson is a male or female? Do we know who that person is yet?
No, they've not been revealed
yet.
To my
knowledge.
They'll only be revealed if they speak out.
Okay. And whoever knows the answer to this, please speak up. I was just a little confused about the verdict itself. Now, she was convicted of first-degree murder with what attached to it? What was the thing that was attached to it? It was first-degree murder.
Go ahead, Julie.
Well, it was just first-degree murder, and I my mind is a blank right now. And with forethought, or I can't remember. My
felony
mind is,
murder. It was.
That's
she,
it.
I believe they were all. Here we all were kind of like out of our bodies. But what I understand is they were all unanimous on premeditation, and the felony murder aspect of it, which is what I woke up this morning and I thought that's what they're deliberating on, because it was a little murky. The felony murder, which was really about the burglary, which was a bit of a stretch, I thought, but they didn't need it. But they were, I think they were trying to get all of them, 12 to premeditation and 12 to felony murder. And
got
I believe that only a portion of them, like 5 or 7, I'm not sure how many, went for the felony murder. And so that's what they said at the second part. But it doesn't matter. You know, they just needed all of them to agree on some aspect of first-degree murder, and they all agreed on the premeditation, which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
well,
the felony murder was they thought that whenever she began to stab him, she was not in his home with his consent, that once she began to stab him, that Travis Alexander revoked her consent. So she's committing burglary. She's in his home without his consent, and that's the felony. And this is what I find a little strange, is that some of them did not think it was premeditated. Some of them went along with the felony murder, that it was burglary. And I'm wondering how that is going to play into the sentencing phase of this jury, whenever they are going to have to find whether or not what she did was cruel and heinous, which would mean if they find what she did was cruel and heinous, that is a plus factor for the death penalty. And if they do not think that this was premeditated, if they think that it was a snap, then does that mean that they are going to give her some leniency whenever considering if this was cruel or heinous? That's troublesome.
Let me speak to that.
Some of them went along with the felony instead of first degree.
Levi, Katie, all it is cruel. It's not heinous. It's just cruelty. That's the only criteria for the death penalty here. And cruelty is all about the suffering of the victim. So Juan Martinez needs to prove to this jury tomorrow that, and that's going to be a tough day for the family, because the entire argument is going to be about how Travis suffered, family and friends, who I'm talking to right now on the radio. So the entire definition of cruelty has to do with the degree of suffering of the victim. And he is then going to argue that to them tomorrow, and it's called the aggravation phase. And at that point, they will then go back and deliberate again and decide if this crime meets that criteria of cruelty as defined by the law. Then they will come back and say yes or no. I believe they will say yes based on their verdict, at which point the death penalty is on the table. Now the death penalty is a viable option, and then the mitigation phase begins. So it's not heinous isn't even of consideration in this one. It's just cruelty. And I believe he'll prove that easily. I think he'll easily prove that tomorrow. I mean, Travis Alexander had his eyes wide open in that shower 60 seconds before his throat was cut, or 62 seconds, or whatever that was. He knew what was coming at him. That fits the definition of cruelty, the infliction of cruelty on someone who has an awareness that they're getting ready to be killed. And he did, and he fought for his life. And that also, these are the kind of things we're going to hear argued tomorrow. And it's not going to be easy for people to hear that. But that's what's tomorrow.
It's going to be, you're at a very emotional day.
He was spitting up blood in the sink, and there was blood everywhere. So there's no doubt in my mind that this was cruel. And I think that she does deserve the death penalty, if anyone does. I was reading some tweets from Dan Abrams, who's a legal analyst for ABC News, and he was sort of saying that he doesn't think that this is a death penalty case because this is a classic domestic violence. But this is not someone who snapped. This is someone who stabbed someone 30 times. And I heard the defense attorney in his closing argument say, well, if, you know, she wanted to kill him, all she had to do was shoot him in his sleep. She didn't do that. Why did she stab him 30 times? She did it because she snapped. Well, I think that she wanted to stab him 30 times because she wanted him to suffer. Because this is a woman, Janine DeMarte, the psychologist, says that borderline people that suffer from borderline personality disorder get angry when they feel that someone they love is abandoning them, real or imagined abandonment. She was pissed because Travis Alexander was taking another woman to Cancun, and she wanted to make him suffer. And I think that she got a kick out of every stab wound that she gave him 30 times. This woman is evil.
Beyond
evil. That's
what
Walmart will be arguing tomorrow.
And we just have somebody jumping in the chat room saying that all 12, and I believe this is correct, all 12 found her guilty of premeditation. 7 found her for felony murder, I believe was the correct. And I could not come up with the word premeditation. I need to be put away, too, as well. You guys need to just be protected from me because I can't talk tonight. Okay. We do have a question about the jury. So Katie Cool Lady, Julie, a very close friend of Travis's, and Chris Hughes, all three of you were in the courtroom, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did any of you watch the jurors as they each individually said yes? Did you see the looks on their faces at all?
I did.
You did? And what did you think, Julie?
Well, this is Katie.
That was Katie Coolady.
Katie, I'm sorry, Katie.
I don't know if anybody. I think we were all in somewhat of a fog. I mean, I know that I was, but the ones that I watched, I mean, they didn't look at Jody, and they were the ones that were strong in saying that out. And not all of them. Some of them just said yes, you know, just a very simple yes. But it seemed like some of them were really, really wanting to declare that yes, and they weren't looking
at
Jody,
right.
And they were just looking straight ahead, saying yes. In a very, very assertive way. So, And just on one side note on that, when I walked out, those three jurors had left who, it was 8, 5, and what was his name, Poquito, the juror 11, I guess. And they left, and they were at the elevators, and then they turned around and came back. So I think somebody may have brought them back to the victim room to speak with the family because they were, or to see their fellow jurors or something. They were headed back to that hallway, and as they passed me, I nodded to each one of them, made eye contact with all three of them, and said, thank you. And every single one of them looked back at me and smiled and said, thank you, back to me.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure they don't have any idea who I am, but they saw me in court a lot. So that was a really special moment for me to be able to, you know, thank them for their service, even though they were dismissed. These were not the alternates, by the way. These were the ones that got dismissed. And,
so,
to be able, and that poor CEO, juror 8, you know, he got the DUI, and he was really trashed in the media and everything like that. But, you know, he was my pick for foreperson.
Right.
So, I mean, I was so glad to make eye contact with him and to say thank you and have him mouth the word thank you back to me. Like, thank you for your service. You know, I know you would have convicted this woman.
That is very special. Julie, I want to ask you something. You say you had two boys that Travis knew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old they are, but how do you tell them about something this horrific?
It was tough. They weren't there when I actually heard the news. It was about 2:30 in the morning, and they were sleeping. And so, you know, just the next day, you know, I mean, what do you say? I just got up and said, you know what, I have some really horrible news, you mm-hmm. know, and I said Travis was, you know, found in his shower. And I didn't go into details because I really didn't have a lot of details then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they've watched the news along the way. But actually, one of my sons was given a pair of Travis's dress shoes. And I'll tell you what, those are sacred to him. And if anybody mm-hmm. touches those shoes, he is upset. And so he just treasures those. He actually came to court with me for 1 week and sat with me there just, you know, so that he could be there and, mm-hmm. and feel like he was a part of it. But they absolutely admired him.
That is so wonderful. And Chris Hughes, everybody's saying hello and to pass along to Sky hello. And I tell you, Before long, we have to have you and Sky on together because everybody wants to talk to Sky. I mean, they love her. She's become a star for what she did and for what she tried to do. Are you going to be there tomorrow, Chris? It's going to be a real hard day for you. Do you think you'll be there? Can you face that?
Yeah, I can. You know, I mean, I didn't want to see the photos, but I saw the photos, the crime scene photos. And so... you know, I dealt with that, and yeah, I'll be there tomorrow, and we're actually going to be here until it's done.
Well, that's good. And Julie, what about you? Is that something that you're going to face as well?
Yes, I will be here at least until the end of the week. Unlike Chris, I haven't seen all of the photos when they've been shown. You know, I've just looked away. There was one photo that we seen when Juan hurried and slapped it down when we were not expecting it, but I'll just look away again tomorrow. You know, it's what I've done in court all along. So, but
right.
I'll be there to support the family. That's kind of, you know, my role is just, I'm just there for support.
Well, you are a wonderful friend to do that. Katie, I'm assuming you're going to be there, right?
I am. I'm working in the mornings all week, and so that just worked out well with my schedule, and I'll be there too.
Wonderful.
I'll be there.
We have Michael on the line. Michael, I'm going to come to you in just a little bit, so hang tight. I want to bring up a subject, and that is borderline personality disorder. I think many people were finally educated on this personality disorder. It's one that I know very well. I've dealt with people who have been diagnosed with it, and it is a living hell, let me tell you. There's no winning. There is absolutely no way you can have any sort of normal relationship, and they're just like Jody. I mean, I haven't known anybody to murder yet, but it's very difficult. And there's a discussion now in the psychiatric community, is borderline personality disorder organic, meaning you're born with it, and sometimes you have something in your head and then something kicks it off like abuse, and boom, you're borderline, or are all borderlines created by something in their environment? That is a big question, and believe it or not, that is something we need to understand, because what we need to do, and this is going to be my rallying cry for this radio show all the time, we need to stop creating these monsters. I'm not saying they shouldn't be punished. I'm not saying they shouldn't be put to death. They should be, but we need to stop, look, listen, and understand how they're created. And this is my one gripe, well, one of many gripes about Nancy Grace, is anytime anybody suggests, hey, yeah, we need to look at why he did it or why he became this way, she just tears them apart. And that's the biggest question we have right now. Levi Page, you've known a lot about this type of personality disorder, and it's, like I said, a big discussion in the psychiatric community. Have you ever dealt with anybody on a one-to-one basis that has had it?
Fortunately, no.
You're lucky.
I'm glad of that. But, you know, I think that Jody Arias exhibited a lot of things that matched up to what Janine DeMarte said. You didn't have to be a psychologist. And when
exactly.
Janine DeMarte was testifying, you could say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Immature. We can see that she's immature. Throughout the trial, she is drawing and coloring and sketching. That's
mm-hmm.
what a 10-year-old does when they are in school and they are bored with the lesson. They start sketching and drawing. And why are you bored? You are facing
mm-hmm.
the death penalty here. You killed someone. You stabbed someone 30 times. You could have a needle in your arm. But no,
mm-hmm.
she's coloring like it's no big deal to her. That's very immature. We can see what Janine DeMarte said when we looked at Jodi Arias. We can see that she did not like, you know, for people to reject her. She did not like abandonment. She didn't like the fact that Travis Alexander was taking another woman on a cruise. One woman that Travis Alexander was talking to, she wrote a threatening letter. She slashed his
mm-hmm.
tires. So, yeah, I mean, we can see that Jodi Arias suffers from this clear as day. The big contention is, does this mean that she deserves sympathy? I don't know about that, because is this something that they're born with, or is it something that they get? I think people are going to debate that for ages. Travis Alexander did not deserve to die from this. It's not Travis mm-hmm. Alexander's fault that she had this disorder. It's not Travis Alexander's fault. He didn't be asked to be stabbed 30 times, and the reality is, if she had this disorder, she should have gotten help. She should have checked herself into a mental institution, had a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Her family should have done something with her
mm-hmm.
very early on when she was a child to get her help before she did this. But they didn't do that, unfortunately. And Travis Alexander paid the price, and now she should pay the price. Because guess what? And the reason the law is so black and white is because it says if you know right from wrong, you're going to be held responsible.
Oh, are you there, Levi? I think we lost Levi. Levi, call back in if you can. I don't know what happened. That is true, Levi, absolutely what you're saying. And first and foremost, society needs to be protected from these people, from people like Jodi Arias. So what we need to do is make sure that these people are not created again. Now, Jodi Arias' family probably had no idea what borderline personality was at all. And so they didn't know to take her anywhere. They didn't understand. That's why we need to educate people. And when you have a personality disorder, you can't change, but you can be trained, almost like a dog, to react to certain things and to behave a certain way. Let's go to Julie. Are you there? Julie? Okay. Can anybody hear me on the phone? Anyone? Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I'm on the air or not. Okay. Can you guys hear me in chat? Let's see. Can you hear me in chat? Okay. You guys can hear me in chat. But no, but I can't hear any of my guests. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Okay, I think I have lost audio to all of the guests, and I'm going to try putting them on hold. And I'm imagining it has something to do with how many people we have listening right now. Let's see if I can hear Michael. Michael, can you hear me? Oh, it looks like we've lost audio. Okay, I hope you guys can hear me on hold. If you can, please call back. I'm going to disconnect you. I don't know what happened. I didn't touch anything. I didn't do anything. So I'm going to hang up on everybody. And please call back. Let's see. Everyone has the phone number. Yes, they do. Okay, so here we go. Hanging up on everybody. See, I'm building a big new multi-million-dollar studio where I will have all of this great equipment. Okay, that's a total lie, but, you know, I'm thinking about it. If I had multi-million dollars, I'd do that. Let's see. Area code 770. Can you hear me? Nope. Okay. We'll just hang up everybody. Sorry about this, you guys. And Kimster isn't here, so we have to blame her. It's her fault. Absolutely her fault. Okay, I think we have hung up on everybody. So if you guys can try calling back in, that would be great. But I am assuming the problem is we have too many people. So now it's just me, and that in itself should terrify you to no end, because I can talk forever, and I can keep you captive here, and you can't leave until I say so. One of the things when I started out doing this radio show that I wanted to do was to discuss mental illness and personality disorders. They're two different things. Mental illness can be treated. Personality disorders, it's like trying to change your eye color by going to talk therapy. It won't work. Once somebody has a personality disorder, they can't take a pill to make it go away. And in Jody Arias' case, I would bet almost 100% something happened to her. I'm not saying she shouldn't get the death penalty. She should. Absolutely, because she knew right from wrong. But something happened to her growing up. I'm not saying it's her parents. It could be something not connected to the family at all. There's rumors that her mother is writing a book that would be pour a lot of light on it. I don't think her parents are very informed. I really don't. I just think that the key to everything is absolute education. Okay, I think I'm getting text messages from everybody. And Katie says, call's not going through. Well, let me tell her to keep trying. Dear Katie. Okay, dear Katie, I look like an idiot. Try again, please. Again, please. There we go. Try again, please. Oh, I put I loon like an idiot. Okay. I look like... Okay, there we go. Try again, please. Oh, it looks like they're coming through. Yes, let's see here. Oh, who's this? Who is this?
I'm here.
Is that Katie?
It's Katie.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And let's see. Who is this?
I know someone's trying to call in.
Hi. Is it 770? Who's this?
This is Madam Whippass.
Oh, okay. I'll put you back on hold. Did she say Madam Whippass?
I have no idea. I thought it was Madeline Black. I don't know.
I thought she said Madam Whippass. Back on hold really fast now. Okay, Julie, we've got you. Thank goodness. Julie, you're back. I'm sorry. You guys, I have no idea what happened. This truly wasn't my fault this time. Usually any technical error is absolutely my fault, but you guys all just went away. And I'm sitting there with my thumb up any orifice, take a pic. And I didn't know what to do. So we'll just kind of get back to it now. Maybe that's Travis teasing us. Would he do something like that?
That like, sounds like the
I, from what I've heard about him, that seems like something if he could do, he would do it just for fun, just to make you guys crazy. You know what, Julie, while we're talking about it, tell us some really fun stuff about Travis. I just feel like I know him. He's somebody I wish I could meet and talk to and hug.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things that Travis used to do was, anytime that he would come and stay with me or if we were getting ready to go on a trip and he'd come up and he'd be like, Julie, I got something for you. And I was like, you did? And he's like, yeah. And he'd flex and go, bam, and flex his muscles. And so, like, today, literally, we walked out of the courthouse and I just went, bam.
Oh, good. Good
yeah,
for
he
you.
Was sweet.
He's, oh, I, you know what, I do, I feel like he is as alive as he possibly could be at this moment. Katie, do you feel like that you have gotten to know Travis like a big sister?
I feel like I've gotten to know him through stories from Julie and from the family. And I said to Julie very early on, when I've known Julie for quite some time now, and when I met Julie, I don't know, I just had a feeling like I understood why she and Travis were so close, because I have a feeling like they had a very similar personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be how I seem to be getting to know who Travis was is through the people that he was real connected to,
mm-hmm.
like hearing stories from Chris and being around Julie. And I felt like last Sunday when Chris kind of got into that, for lack of a better word, kind of a sermon where he
mm-hmm.
was talking about, you know, if Travis was here, what would he say and what message would he want to impart? I felt like that's probably the closest I'm going to get to being around Travis Alexander is through Chris, you know, that
mm-hmm.
that Sunday. But I had said that also to Julie very early on. I felt like I have a sense of why she and Julie and Travis had a very special connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know that to be true. And I just had this watching her and her personality, and she's very lighthearted and very playful personality. And I thought, I get it why you and Travis resonated so well together, because I had said that to her like maybe 4 months ago when I met her, and that were you a lot alike in your personality? She just sort of gave me a look, and then the tears started coming into her eyes. And so that feels like how I've kind of gotten to know Travis in a way,
mm-hmm.
in those sort of ways through people that were really connected to him.
That is very heartwarming to hear. And I, like I said, I'm very sorry that I did not get to meet this incredible young man. Levi Page, are you back with us?
I am. I was in the middle of a rant, and then I was disconnected.
I know. Yeah, it was your fault. You were ramping up your rant so much, it blew everything out. Have you ever had that problem, Levi? Levi Page does his Blog Talk Radio show. That happened to us last week. Remember, I was talking, and then I was gone.
It happens, right, whenever someone's in the middle of a good rant.
Exactly. It absolutely. Levi, do you feel like you've gotten to really know Travis? I mean, I feel like I could sit down and have a conversation with him.
You know, I think that most people have, when they can cut through the BS and the lies and the manipulations and the character assassination that Jody Arias has put out there about him. I think that she tried her best to do it, but I think that she did not convince the majority of the American public that followed this trial that he was a pedophile. There was no evidence of it. There was no evidence that he was abusive, and there's no evidence that he was a sexual deviant, because the telephone conversations, Jody Arias initiated it, and Jody Arias introduced these new sexual things into his life. This was
mm-hmm.
someone who was really poisonous. She is the definition of a toxic person. And unfortunately, it ended terribly for Travis Alexander. But what really hit home to me was whenever I heard some of his friends being interviewed on television, and they talked about his life growing up and how he wanted to do better for himself. And I think that that resonates with a lot of people. He didn't come from much, but he wanted to strive, and he wanted to do better, and he wanted to break the mold, and he wanted a good life for himself. And unfortunately, he can't have that because of Jody Arias. He came across someone like Jody Arias that ended that all.
And unfortunately, he did. We have a lot of questions from the chat room, and this will go to Julie and to Katie Cool Lady. Did you see what Juan Martinez did when the verdict was read? We'll start with you, Julie.
You know what? I couldn't see Juan because I was actually sitting behind him, so I couldn't see his face at all. And literally, the verdict was read, and I kind of had an out-of-body experience.
I bet.
So I'm no help there. Sorry.
No. That's okay. Katie, how about you?
Well, I can share a little anecdote about that, and that I didn't see, you know, in the moment the verdict was read, because like Julie, I was behind him and we're just looking at the back of his head. But, you know, then of course they released the jury, and then immediately Juan walked out and he had a very serious look on his face. And he announced something to the family, because of course we were all just, you know, filled with whatever emotion was going on in that little section. And he,
mm-hmm.
I saw him mouth something with a very serious look on his face, mouth something to the jury, to the family that looked something like, "I'll be in my office," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he split. Well, I have subsequently found out this sort of magical tale that happened with Katie Wick and some other trial watchers who ended up kind of in like Willy Wonka's elevator going to nowhere. They ended up in this weird thing where they were dismissed from the floor. They didn't let any public people in at all. So they
mm-hmm.
ended up in a stairwell, and they couldn't get out of the stairwell, and they went back upstairs. They were banging on the door to try to get back on the floor, and they were losing their Wi-Fi connection. I mean, we heard this really amazing story, and at the end of it was they missed the actual verdict coming in, but they saw the crowds outside. They were looking out the window and saw the crowds screaming. So they knew there was a good verdict from that, but they lost their connection to the Wi-Fi. And so then they ended up going back up in the elevator to the fifth floor. Long and short of it is they ended up in the elevator with Juan Martinez.
Oh, my
gosh. After the verdict, who then not shook each other's hands, squeezed each other's hands, and as it was reported to me, had tears in his eyes. And
really?
I think that's why he left so quickly. And the media, who has said, and I'm going to say it, Michael Kiefer can kiss my ass. Because if he said Juan Martinez was out there, and I've known him for a long time, but he can kiss my ass. Because if he said Juan Martinez is all about the limelight, there were throngs of media out in front of that courthouse. And what did he do? He split. He took off. He got in that elevator. He happened to land inadvertently in the elevator with these four trial watchers, just four of them that were together trying to run around the courthouse trying to find a Wi-Fi signal, and he ended up going down with them, and then he split and went back to his office all by himself, avoiding the entire media, and went back to his office all alone with Detective Flores. So I thought that was interesting how he responded to it. You know, he didn't stick around for the accolades or anything like that. I mean, he was gone. Look at his split.
Whoever says that he's looking for the limelight, you can tell he's just looking to win. He's just really got to win.
But the judge says.
Yeah, exactly. I don't agree with how he approaches defense witnesses, but he knows his job. And if he did want attention, he would go out every day out the front door. And he would get a cheering standing ovation, but he didn't. I think that's very cruel and very wrong to accuse him of that, because he's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't. And by the way, everybody, there are no censors at all on this show, so you can say whatever you want. That's what I love about this show. Okay, let's see. We do have a lot more questions, but I've got somebody very, very special on the line that I want to go to first. And Julie and Levi may not know, but there's a wonderful man named Michael who has become a very good friend and wonderful friend of the Alexander family. And is he still here? Let's see. I think this might be him. Michael, is that you?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for holding for so long. I really appreciate it. Michael,
no, I prefer to listen to you here. This is much better than the...
Oh, it is?
iTunes. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm good.
Good, good.
I'm so glad Levi is back on, because he's the one I had to talk to.
Okay, talk to Levi.
He had said something earlier about the Arias family being victims.
Mm-hmm.
And I really take issue with that. And I was in that same camp up until their behavior in the courtroom. And also, of course, I'm privy to what's been reported on HLN, the fact that Arias' mother went to the National Enquirer with those forged letters and tried to sell them to trash Travis. And then, insult to injury, Michael Hughes was sitting behind them, and he reported that as the autopsy photos, the most gruesome of the photos, were put up, they laughed. The mother and the aunt were smirking and laughing. Now, that's heinous behavior. How in the world can to have all of those friends of Jody Arias calling and saying, your daughter needs help, your daughter needs help, they turned a blind eye to this sociopath, and I don't have any sympathy for
But then, Michael, I'm going to jump in here before I let Levi talk, because it's my show and I can tell him to shut up, and sometimes I do. So, Levi, stand by. But doesn't that explain... Remember I said there was something in her childhood, and I don't like to blame the parents, because sometimes the parents have absolutely nothing to do with it. They're wonderful people. But doesn't that explain that if what you said is true, Michael, and I'm not doubting what you say, but I just have nothing to back it up. But if you say what you say is true, then that explains a lot to me about how Jody Arias became the person that she is. If her mother really did try and sell these letters to the Enquirer, and again, Michael, I'm not doubting what you're saying. It's just I've got to, you know, when something that big comes up, I've got to, you know, source it for sure. Are you allowed to tell us?
Well, I can tell you that it was the editor that was talking, Mike somebody, the editor from National Enquirer.
Yeah, Mike.
He was
actually, you heard him talking?
Yeah, he was on Nancy Grace.
Trisha?
And he was the
one
who reported it.
Yes. Levi, I mean Julie.
Actually, he did say that he was on Nancy Grace, the editor of the National Enquirer. He did say that, and he said he didn't want to run the piece because he just didn't feel good about it. So what they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Exactly, Michael. I apologize. I thought you were saying you were privy to this inside information, and I thought that's what you were reporting. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is huge.
Oh no.
But, okay. The editor of the National Enquirer, or one of the editors, his name is Mike, and I can't remember his last name, but yeah, I know who you're talking about. So here we have Jody's mother trying to sell fake letters. We know they're fake. She knows they're fake. And she's trying to sell the letters to the National Enquirer so Travis can be killed and trashed and destroyed all over again. No doubt now. That's all I need to hear to know why Jody Arias turned out the way she did. Now, there is a rumor that she's writing a book. And I'm going to ask Julie first, and then I'm going to go to Katie. Did you happen to notice if Jody's mother took a lot of notes?
You know what? She did take some notes. I did notice that throughout the trial. I wouldn't say a lot of notes, but she definitely did write some things down. I don't know, if they were notes, if she was just doodling, but it did look like she was writing notes throughout the trial.
Mm-hmm. And Katie Cool Lady, what do you think?
She did take a lot of notes in a Mickey Mouse journal. She had a
Mickey literally?
Mouse journal.
You mean literally a Mickey Mouse journal?
Yeah, it had a Mickey Mouse on the front. Yeah, either she was getting the same Mickey Mouse journal or she wasn't taking that many notes, because I noticed like a month later she had the same journal, and I was burning through one journal in like 3 days mm-hmm. in the courtroom, so because I took a lot of notes and maybe I write sloppy or whatever, but I'm like, how is she writing the same Mickey Mouse journal? Because I noticed the cover of it, and so she was taking notes, but either she was having a lot of the exact same journal or she wasn't taking that many notes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Michael and Levi, I'm sorry, I will go to you. I haven't forgotten you. I'll go to you next, right after I go to Michael. Michael, what you said is very interesting about, you don't have compassion after you heard what she did. Let's look at it this way. Abuse is like a rock thrown in a still lake. The waves go out and further and further, and it touches everybody in that circle. So here we have Jody Arias' mother trying to do something horrific. You have to look at her situation growing up. Was she abused? And I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm for the death penalty. I love getting the bad guys behind bars. But we need to prevent the bad guys from being created. And that's how we do it. I would love to go back and look at Jody Arias' family, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, all of that to see, because each generation is different. And if a generation is abused, more than likely they'll abuse somebody else themselves. And is there any doubt now, Michael, how Jody Arias became a borderline personality, a person with borderline personality? Don't you think a mother like that would really mess up a kid?
I don't know. And I'm speaking far too harshly, of course. To have your child facing possible death would be horrible, regardless of if they're a sociopath or not. But sometimes I think, put them out of their misery. They're just, there's no space on earth for them, really, when they're that sick and twisted.
Well, society needs to be protected. And I'll tell you what, if Jody Arias was let out ever, she would do this again. And if you want to know what a borderline personality is like, rent Fatal Attraction. Get Fatal Attraction with Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. She won an Academy Award, and in fact, I believe they use Fatal Attraction to show students what a borderline personality looks like and acts like, and it's Glenn Close. She got that down perfectly. Okay, Levi, I want to hear from you. Your thoughts on everything that we've been chatting about. Levi? Oh, no.
Levi,
where'd you go? Oh, my gosh. Hold on. I hope he didn't hang up on me. You guys knew I was kidding, right? Okay, hold on. Let's see. Levi, I've just got to check here. 931. He's gone.
He didn't like what I said.
No, he didn't like what I said. Levi, call back. Call back. Okay, there we go. I love texting.
Well,
text.
I'm done anyway, Tricia. I won't keep you.
Oh, fine. Fine, you get me all wound up, and now my guests leave, and then you leave me, Michael. That's okay.
I'll stay, but I can't add to the conversation except to say what I witnessed as everyone else did.
Right.
My heart just broke for everybody.
Exactly, and me too. And we love you, Michael, and thank you. I'm going to put you back on hold so you can listen, okay?
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it looks like we have right now, we have Katie Coolady and Julie, a very, very close friend of Travis Alexander's. Chris Hughes had to go to another interview, so he's gone for the night. But I'm going to try and have Chris and Sky and Katie and Julie, you're welcome to come on as well. And we'll do one more show about Travis, probably right after sentencing. So people, we can focus on Travis and not on Jody. Jody Arias is going to be the subject of books. I think there's already a movie in the works. So we want to focus on Travis. Ladies, can you hang just for a minute more? I want to see if we have any more questions, okay?
And I have one thing I'd like to end on.
Okay.
One little anecdote.
Okay, great. Hold on one second. Let me get to the questions. Okay. I think we're all good. Do I dare go to the lady that I thought said her name was Whip My Ass or something? Do I dare go to that person? Should I, just for fun? Okay, just
it
for fun, I will.
Something.
Okay, hold on one second. Okay, hi, can you hear me? This area code 770. Did you
yes.
say, what did you
this
say
is,
your name was?
This is Madam Whipass.
Madam Whipass. I was right.
Yes.
Okay, Madam Whipass, what do you have to say?
First, I just want to say my heart goes out to the Alexander family. I've watched videos of Travis, his motivational speaking. He definitely just became dear to my heart. Seems like a really great guy. I'm so sorry that I never had the opportunity to meet this person. Thank God the jurors of Arizona knew what to do and did the right thing. I had no problem with them deliberating for 15 hours, and I just knew that they just wanted to make sure that they would get it right. As for Jody, I was inspired by Chris on Sunday night to forgive this thing.
That's right,
and,
thing.
I just have to pray about it because I'm really having a hard time with it. I know that I should. I know that we all should. But it's just not easy. But yet we do know that all things were created by God, and I guess she was just broken. You
yes,
know, when they
broken is a great
people,
way, great way to describe her, and I agree with you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue.
Just broken, and, you know, she, I guess the angel, somebody forgot to stick a chip in her or something to give her emotions.
She went along the line, the, you know, belt,
the
as you're putting
belt.
It.
Yeah,
conveyor belt, and they forgot her chip,
chip
for emotion. Exactly. Well, Lady Whipass, I love your name. I immediately put you on hold because I thought you were going to start, you know, talking about Bigfoot or some weird thing like that, but I can see you're one of us. Thank you.
Yes, and I also have videos. I have a video on YouTube. It's called The Jody Arias Trial and the Power of Demonic Coochie.
Oh,
so
I love
it.
Thank you. I love this woman. Oh, my gosh. She sounds like somebody that has done some things that I might be scared to do. So thank you, Madam Whipass.
No,
you're a doll.
It's all about telling the truth, nothing sexual.
Oh, okay. Thank you. But telling the truth can be
welcome.
Scary, too. Thank you, my dear. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know I can go to Lady Whipass and not worry. That's a very good thing. Okay, we do have some phone calls with some questions. Now, ladies, I have no idea what's going to happen when I answer these phone lines. So are you prepared?
All right, bring it on.
Okay, well, thank you. I love that. I usually have Kimster here to do it, so we can blame her if there's ever a problem. Let's go to area code 386. 386, you're on Trisha's True Crime Radio with Katie Cool Lady and Julie. What's your question?
Well, I think that might be me.
That
I'm
is you.
Little Miss Legal. I just really don't have a question. I just want to say how amazing I think that the platform that you provide and the callers and the posters that you attract is just phenomenal. I just want
to thank
every single one of them. I mean, Katie and everybody. I just feel like any one of those people, I feel like as if I could sit down and become a friend with them. And it's just, I'm just amazed that you are able to give so much support to the families and everything. And it was just...
Well, you are sweet. You are very sweet.
I wrote on there, I think I've burnt out more cell phone batteries. Every time I'm someplace, I put my cell phone on and I got it to Web Sleuths and the battery goes down. So I bought one of those little
ones. Right.
And
well,
my husband says, like, oh, who are you talking to? And I go, like, oh, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just reading Web Sleuths.
What is your posting name?
Little Miss Legal.
Oh, we know you. I know you. Yeah.
I know you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, you're wonderful. And thank you for all your kind comments. We do have an incredible group there at Web Sleuths. The moderators, I'm telling you, I want some media person to do a story about the moderators because
what they go
through is amazing. They are the
best
people.
When I've seen the pictures of the baskets that you guys made for the family, and I do have to say that the family is has so much dignity. I mean, I don't blame anybody for screaming out. I mean, I know that I probably would have been locked up right along with Jody because I wouldn't have been able to keep my mouth shut or my looks from not giving some reaction through this whole thing. But that family has so much class. And
they do.
And I know tomorrow's going to be a hard day for them, and I hope that they're okay.
Well, Little Miss Legal, you are now part of the group here on Trisha's True Crime Radio, so I hope you listen again, and I hope you call in.
I can't get the sound, so the only way I've been able to listen to it is being on hold. So keep me on hold, or I won't be able to listen to the rest of the show.
I will not hang up. I'll keep you right on hold, okay?
Just keep me there. Thank
you
everybody.
It.
You're all
Thank
so
you.
Great. Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now, see, that was a nice call. I didn't need to worry. Okay, we've got two more here, and we will go to area code 606. You're on the air with Katie Cool Lady, Julie, and Trisha's True Crime Radio. Do you have a question?
Hi, Trisha. No, honey, I just have a comment. This is Talisa, longtime web listener. I know you guys know my story, but Levi, mm-hmm. Michael, and all those don't. And my brother and his wife were brutally murdered in 2008.
Oh.
And every time we get a verdict like this, I get justice all over again. So
mm-hmm.
please thank them for me. And thank you, Trisha.
Well, thank you, hon. Oh, we love you too. I wish I could. We've got to invent something where I can reach through the phone and just hold you. I mean, are you going to be okay? Do you want to keep talking?
You've got that wonderful help to have you here. Bye.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I've got my wonderful hubby here.
Good. Well, you tell him thank you for us and let him take care of you. Okay.
I will, sweetheart. Bye bye.
Okay, I'm gonna put you back on hold. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Okay, now, here is an interesting phone call, ladies. This is a restricted number, so that means it's very scary. I have no idea who this is.
Awesome.
Who's this?
This is Bunzai.
This is, oh, hi, Bunzai, is that what you said?
That's right.
Okay, I do have a question.
First, I want to say, I have a comment, actually.
We'd love it.
First, I want to tell KCL, I saw her with Katie Wick hugging by the pool on Dr. Drew. we all hug her. We all love her. We love mm-hmm. everybody at Web Sleuth.
Thank you.
I do want to comment on something that Katie Cool Lady said earlier
mm-hmm.
Regarding last week's show, which was mm-hmm. absolutely fabulous with Chris.
Thank you.
Chris was almost channeling Travis Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought to mind the 2008 affirmation that Travis posted. where he said, this year will be the best year of my life. Mm-hmm. This year will be, will eclipse all others. That he will learn more, travel more, give more, right? He goes on to say, this is a year of metamorphosis, of growth and accomplishment that at previous was unimaginable. A year where the impossible become commonplace, the unachievable become effortlessly achieved, where I raise myself to heights only visited by great men and women of this world, and by so doing, this year will be the best year of my life. Now tell me, Travis's message has been heard around the world.
Mm-hmm.
His love, his generosity, his kindness. He has reached great heights. He's reached a success unsurpassed by all the great men and women of the world. That's the comment I wanted to make.
That is a beautiful comment.
And send blessings to everybody.
You are a doll and a sweetheart. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Well, that was very nice. I'm glad she brought that up because I had forgotten what Travis wrote in 2008. And it's sad now, poignant, but she's right. He has reached true heights from what has happened to him. We're going to wrap it up because I know, ladies, you've got places to be and you're probably exhausted. So, Julie, I want to go to you for one final comment. Final thoughts, please.
I just want to say thank you for giving us this platform as well to express our feelings and to come together. Travis absolutely brought everyone together. That's who he was. And in making the great friends that we've made through this trial, there's always something good that comes from something bad. And there's always something positive to look forward to. And that's just true Travis form, is to bring people together and to see the good in people. And with that, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you are a wonderful guest, Julie. You're a good friend of Travis Alexander's, very close to him, and you are welcome on any time you want. And I'll tell you what, when I do the show all about Travis, right before sentencing or right after, I would love to have you back on, okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie. And let's go to Katie, cool lady. Katie, I'm going to let you wrap up today because, boy, what a big day it was. You have the final words.
Okay, I'm going to leave you on this note, you guys. So someone showed up at the courthouse a few weeks ago. It's been at least 2 weeks with a gift for the Alexander family. They ended up giving it to Katie Wick, who gave it to me to pass along to the family. I've been in possession of this gift for at least 2 weeks, and I just have not, you know, it's been a little touch and go about when I'm going to get in the courtroom, when I'm mm-hmm. going to see them, you know, schlepping stuff around from here and there. Like, I actually brought it here. I had it in my room at this hotel all last week thinking I'd have an opportunity to give it to them. It just never happened. Yesterday was Stephen Alexander's birthday, and I know that he was really hoping for a verdict on his birthday, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I walked out of the house today, the streets in front of my house are completely torn up, and I mean that literally. They're completely and totally torn up, so I can't even drive my car. I can't even drive my own car into my own driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grabbed this thing on the way out, and I had to walk like a block and a half to even get to my car. And I grabbed this bag with this gift in it. So in this gift that this person, I don't know who brought it, was a man, I think it was some sort of a veteran or something, is one of those kind of shadow box frames. And in this frame is a two coins, and they look like large silver dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And above, and they are the birth and the death year of Travis Alexander. And above one of them, this person put Travis's picture and his name. And above the other one is whatever that goes with that coin. I wish I could remember because I didn't study it that much, but it's a
mm-hmm.
total tribute to Travis with these two coins. And one is his birth year of 1977, and the other one is his death year of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And they're these large like silver dollars. I mean, let me just say this. It's a beautiful thing that somebody put a lot of thought into creating on this, like, shadow box. I have been having and been in the possession of this thing from this stranger. There's a card that goes with it and everything for at least 2 weeks. And finally today I'm like, I have to bring it. I have to get it. And in my mind I said, I'm going to give it to Stephen. Like, who do I give it to? You know, because there's a lot of siblings. And I said, you know what, it was Stephen's birthday yesterday. I'm going to give this to Stephen, who I have developed a real heart connection with. And this is going to be a birthday present to Stephen. So I had that picture me. I didn't know I was going to get in the courtroom. I'm sitting in the courtroom, and in front of me, spread out in front of me, is my purse and this bag that's now all crumpled and a mess, everything, because I've been carting it from place to place to place in front of my feet. And I look down at my feet, and there is coin at my feet. And I reach down and pick it up, and I'm next to Joy Lynn, my friend Joy Lynn, who's a real good friend of Julie's. It's been a blessing to me to meet her through this trial. She's sitting next to me. I pick it up, this coin that's at my feet. Like, where did this come from? And it's not anything to do with this gift, but it's just weird that there was this coins and this gift, you know? And it's some sort of, like, commemorative quarter that's in my feet. And I pick it up, and I just hold it out to Julie, who's like, and I just hold it in my hand. She goes, you need to look at that. Doesn't that say, like, in God we trust? She goes, where'd that come from? I said, it was just at my feet. Like, it appeared out of nowhere. And she goes, you need to see what's on there. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, there's going to be, like, a date or something. There's going to be a sign on this coin. And so she goes, doesn't the coin say, in God we trust? And I'm, like, blind as a bat, you know, and I don't have any glasses. And I'm trying to look on this thing. And I flip it over because it was tailed up. And I flip it over, and it has, like, the seal or the city, the state, whatever emblem of the state of New Hampshire, and the words are live free or die. And that's exactly what we saw right before that verdict came in, live free or die.
Oh, wow.
And we both just burst in tears. I said, she's getting the death penalty because she's never going to live free again.
Exactly right.
That coin landed at my feet from somewhere. And so I'm going to do something with that. I saved it. I tucked it in my wallet behind my driver's license so I wouldn't lose it. And I'm giving that to Samantha. Hope she's not listening. but
now,
I'm going to give that to Samantha.
Isn't that the state motto of, was it New Hampshire, you say?
It's New Hampshire, I think.
Yeah, it's the state motto.
And that's what was on the flip side, and that's what was presented. So I look for signs all around me. That's how I survive. I just always look for signs. That's how I get through my life. And for me to not know that I was going to get it in the courtroom, it was a total gift that I was in the courtroom. To be sitting there with those coins in that gift, for a coin to present itself to me that says live free or die,
that
I just looked Jaylen and I said she's getting the death penalty.
Yeah, that is absolutely, that was a sign and it was meant to comfort you. So I hope it did.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Oh, that is, what a great note to end on. I mean, and tomorrow you're going to get, or did you give it to Stephen today?
Haven't given it to anybody. I gave him that, and he walked out of court carrying that bag.
Oh, good.
I don't even
know
if you looked in it or anything, but I gave it to him today.
Good.
So he has
that. Good deal. Well, okay, Katie, you said you're going to go tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be tough. It's going to be
really
hard.
I don't know if I'll
get
in the courtroom or not, but I will be there for the family. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll show up.
Okay.
I never know if I'm getting in, but I will be there. I'll be there in the courtroom, or I'll be in the hallway.
Okay. If you need anything from us, Trisha's True Crime Radio, the wonderful people at Web Sleuths, you just know who to call, okay?
I'll keep everybody posted.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Katie Cool Lady, our person on the ground and in the courtroom. Okay. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. And I think today has been a day that we've all waited a long time for, especially Travis's family. It's not over yet. There's a sentencing and all of that, and it's going to be a very emotional day tomorrow. We're going to stay on top of it. Now, don't forget, we'll be back Sunday at our regular time, which is 8 o'clock Eastern. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio. Oh, by the way, I need to tell you this, okay? Opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and the guests, and I take no responsibility for them. Trisha's True Crime Radio is completely separate from WebSleuths.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. So in other words, if you get all upset about something that's said here, well, then you come to us, not to the forums, okay? Take care. And remember, it's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everybody.